You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On this episode of The Heat Check, we've got a loaded midweek show, baby. We get into the looming disaster in Lakerland. Yeah, it's disappointing and delightful to say at the same time. Rob Plinka, are you to blame? We talk about Tyrese Halliburton's recent 30-game slump. Ant Edwards, is that the best dunk we've ever seen in our goddamn lives in-game? He literally dislocated his finger and broke John Collins' brain, all with the swoop of one ridiculous dunk. Speaking of injuries, we get into more of those from around the league. We also must, on the show, talk about DeAndre Ayton's air mattress confession. A debacle it was. Anthony, let's get into it. Drop that motherfucking beat. This should be Rihanna. Crash, boom, boom. What's that sound? That is the Lakers hitting squarely into a wall at the worst possible time of the season. Not only are the Lakers 7-6 in their last 13 and 1-2 in their last three, but here's where it gets better, folks. The Houston Rockets, who we talked about actually, I think, last show, still hot, still very, very hot. 7-1 in their last eight and breathing down their necks for that 10 spot, that final play-in appearance. But that is not why we're talking about them today. No, friend of the show, Bill Ryder, dropped this bombshell this morning. Sources tell CBS Sports that Los Angeles Lakers players Christian Wood, Jared Vanderbilt, and Gabe Vincent will miss the rest of the season. While Jared Vanderbilt still could return, sources say, the expectation is that that will not happen. Oh boy, that is awful news for a team that is reeling right now, a team that could use these players at some point. And with AD just coming back from a scratch cornea, things are not amazing. The crazy thing is that the Lakers have basically been just breadcrumbing us pretty much all season. Like, remember, who was it last year? We can't fully judge this Laker team until Kendrick Nunn plays. We can't judge this team until we see what Kendrick Nunn is like in the lineup. Gabe Vincent is the new Kendrick Nunn of the LA Lakers. It became a joke. Can't judge his team till Kendrick Nunn is in the lineup. Here we are. And they were just being cagey. Oh, Gabe Vincent's coming back. Return is imminent. We kept hearing the return is right around the corner. They kept showing us videos at practice of Gabe Vincent somehow getting up set shots from 18 feet. The truth is, Christian Woods has several weeks of rehab after getting surgery on his left knee before he can hit the court again. Vando may return, just like he likes to return all of his clothes that he gets from his private shopper. But there's no certainty to it, whether, just like there's no certainty as to whether he'll pay. And they have seemed to be teasing Gabe Vincent coming back for months. And he does not seem to be close to seeing the court in a game situation, even though they keep telling us he's cleared for on-court work. He has played all of 5 games this year. Honestly, that's 5 games more than I remember. Not gonna lie to you. All of this underscores just how awful the trade deadline was for the Lakers. Which brings me around, really, to my point. Why is Rob Pelinka just unscathed at the job that he has done for the Lakers? He pulled a rabbit out of his hat last deadline, got the Western Conference Finals appearance out of it by beating a very banged-up Grizzlies team, and then taking out a Golden State team on their last legs. They were literally coughing dust before getting swept to the Denver Nuggets in what they call the most respectable sweep in NBA history, the most competitive sweep in NBA history. And then this year, the Lakers' big three of Braun, AD, and D'Lo. You know what this team reminds me of? The Lakers sort of remind me of what the Warriors did after they somehow won the title, right? They knew Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins, like, and the rest of these, like, schmucks shouldn't be extended, right? You shouldn't be rolling these dudes back out. You knew midway through that season they weren't the ones, but then they had to pay them. They're the Eastern Conference Finals team for the Atlanta Hawks, where it's like John Collins, DeAndre Hunter, Bogdan Bogdanovich, and it's like, we know these dudes are not the ones. But we went to the Eastern Conference Finals, so we kind of have to pay them. So then they roll out the same team, the Lakers. Rui Hachimura, they paid. D'Lo gets paid. Torian Prince comes back. And you're like, still no shooters, but I guess. And they still refuse to go out and get a Buddy Hield, who could have opened up spacing for LeBron James 3 years ago. And they didn't do it then. They haven't done it now. All of this is Rob Pelinka's fault. Here's the nail in the scouting coffin, because we could use some guys that could play some basketball right now. Some young legs, some cheap legs. According to our very own Anthony Irwin, shout out to my guy Anthony Irwin for basically writing this segment for me of the Lakers Lounge. Pelinka whiffed on the draft not once, but twice. Here is what Anthony Irwin said. Love him. According to sources, a consensus pick for the Lakers was Kobe Bufkin. When he was selected 15th by the Atlanta Hawks, the Lakers had to scramble. Sources say the scouting department preferred Whitmore once Bufkin was off the board, but Pelinka's and others higher up in the organization, a.k.a. Linda Rambis and Kurt Rambis and probably Jeannie Buss, were concerned about his medicals. Pelinka having seen Hood Schifino play well in the Big Ten Conference Tournament, saw something special, and made his final decision. There's just so much to unpack here. First of all, Kobe Bufkin at the top of your big board was a choice. When you're drafting 17th, that is malfeasance. He has been not very good for the Hawks since he arrived, and some people might even call him a bust. He is just chucking down in the G League. His literal upside ceiling comp is a man that is considered the most overpaid player and the lowest net rating player in the NBA right now, Jordan Poole. That was his absolute upside, Jordan Poole, Kobe Bufkin. He is chucking to the tune of 23.6 per game on 20 shots per game, 1.18 points per shot. The league average is 1.15. This is the G League that we're talking about. So this is like hitting 250. It's like right above the Mendoza line in the minors. Fam, you're not good enough right now. You're not good enough. Bufkin's played all 9 games this season, despite the fact that Trae Young has been gone for the year since the All-Star break. The tanking Hawks brought in fucking Patty Mills over Kobe Bufkin. They said this man's been sitting on the bench in his... No, this man, Patty Mills, been sitting on the couch in his tube socks eating Lay's. And they said we'd rather have him. Anyway, it's not like other people didn't see the flaws in Kobe Bufkin. John Hollinger, friend of show, said this at the Summer League. Bufkin having to run the offense every play seemed to really slow him down. You could almost hear the gears cranking at times as he got and thought through the pick and roll read. Bufkin's stats also took a blow, shooting 4 for 29 from 3. He needs to improve as a shooter, but mostly his numbers are bad due to small sample variance. I'd be more troubled by the multiple finishes that were swatted at the rim, again caused by him seeming to cruise through an opening too slowly. He was so bad that an anonymous Hawks executive told friend of show, we had a lot of friends of show, you know? A lot of fucking big ball NBA expert friends of show. Keith Smith from Spotrek, somebody told him, Kobe Bufkin needs to settle his ass down. The ass part was me. I bring all of this up because this was the dude that you were salivating at 17? On your big board? Rob! And to compound problems, when the Hawks reached for Bufkin at 15, not exactly the most stellar front office, the Atlanta Hawks. As soon as Bufkin was taken by the Hawks, you knew you fucked up. You knew, oh, we're not seeing this entire board well. And then you don't have an answer immediately when your guy is taken. And your answer is to take a guy you saw in the conference tournament play well once in the Big Ten for Indiana? And we're like, yep, that's our guy. That's the kid we like. We saw him play well at the conference tournament, so yep, I like that Hood Schifino kid. Hood Schifino currently averaging 1.6 points per game in 21 games. Much of those games are in garbage time where even he looks overmatched there, folks. I don't know. I liked me also. Trista Crick, non-GM, non-player evaluation expert, like Hood Schifino as well. I liked the band workout that they put out of him on Bleacher Report. I was like, oh, yeah, maybe like Tom Brady's got the plasticity down. I like the fact that he could do a nice little downward-facing dog. He had it down. Look at his crow pose, Hood Schifino. How does that translate into buckets for the L.A. Lakers? It doesn't. It doesn't. You know who would have been valuable at 17? He was actually there. Jaime Jaquez, who went with the very next pick. The Miami Heat saw the Lakers right above them and said, there's no way this team is going to take who we want. That's, you know, who cares if they got to the Western Conference Finals? They don't know what they're fucking doing. They're over there just literally grabbing the wall blind, just trying to touch whatever comes their way. By the way, Jaime Jaquez played. Who did he play for? Go again. Checks notes. The UCLA Bruins. Just a mere 15 minutes from Rob Pelinka's office, and he was like, "Nah, I'm good on this guy. He's a senior. He was there for 4 years. You had him up close and personal for 4 years. He will make all rookie his first year." He's probably going to be an all-star at some point, and you missed him. You know what else would have helped? Brandon Pajemski, who just played up the 5 from the Forum in, I don't know, Santa Clara? St. Mary's, excuse me. He will also make the all-rookie team. Who else would have helped you? A guy that was actually slotted to go 4th at one point. Cam Whitmore and his medicals slid him to the same team that liked him at 4 with the 20th pick. That Cam Whitmore is averaging 12-4-1 in 17 minutes of game, who is widely seen as an absolute steal. Pelinka, what the fuck are you doing, baby? If you miss the play-in or you flame out without making the playoffs, heads are going to have to roll. And it won't stop with Darvin uncured ham. No, it will not. Pelinka hired him. Pelinka, I don't know if he'll be fired, but like the roars of the firing will be loud as they've ever been about rumors.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
We move on to Tyrese Haliburton, all-star point guard from the Indiana Pacers, who is, I have to say, and I don't really want to say it out loud, and I don't think anyone else wants to either, is that Tyrese Haliburton is going through it right now, and I don't mean going through defenders. I mean going through a slump, and it has been a fucking abysmal to watch, really. The numbers, you don't want me to read them to you. 6-for-36 from deep in his last five games, and that puts him in Jordan Poole territory, Miles Bridges territory, as the only players to make six or a few threes on 36 attempts or more during any five-game span this season. Ice cold! What's colder than being cold? Haliburton! Fuck, dude, I hate saying it out loud. I really do. In his last 12 games, Haliburton has put up 15-4-10 on 40% from the field and 19% from three. I'm sorry, guys. Those are bad numbers. He was asked in the post-game presser after a five-point loss to the Mitchell-less Cavs, where he went 4-for-14 and 1-for-9 from three. Hey, is something amiss? He said this. I'm just trying to figure it out right now. Obviously, it's frustrating. I've never went through a slump like this in my entire life, but it's all part of it, figuring it out. It sucks. Everybody's got the answer, but it's about me figuring it out, so I've got to be better, and I will be better moving forward. I just got to be better, point blank. It's clearly the delineation is the hamstring injury. Before it, Tyrese Haliburton was stacking up MVP level stats, 24-4-14 on 50-40-87. After it, 16-4-9 on 44-28. Oh my God. And 86 from the free throw line, getting worse actually as the season winds down. Slump City population, Haliburton, two different players. He was asked again about the slump and how he's been seeing a psychologist for some time. And he said this: not everybody cares how we feel. To half the world, I'm just helping them make money on DraftKings. That's what my social media mostly consists of. I think it can be funny sometimes. Someone will tweet, hey, I lost $1,000 because of you. I don't give a fuck about that. That's why it's important for us to have conversations with people who value us as human beings. Can it be both? I'm sure he'll shoot his way out of this slump soon. Too good of a player not to. With Ben Mathurin out for the season, even more falls on Hallie's shoulders offensively. He needs to figure out this shooting slump. Or it's going to be a quick exit in the postseason. I mean, this is not a great team right now. Honestly, the Pacers, a sad end to what was an incredible beginning of the year for our Indiana Pacers. We move on to some news from around the league. And that begins with Anthony Michael Jeffrey Jordan Edwards, who had one of the most incredible dunks in NBA history last night. So, this is what happened. Ant soars down the lane, just ripping through. John Collins doesn't make a business decision. He rises up to block Ant. That's a mistake. Maybe the most violent dunk I have ever seen with my own two eyes. Ant slammed the ball down on the way down, dislocates his finger and dislocates John Collins' face, and puts Collins out for the game in what was thought to be a concussion. Dude, I've never seen anyone dunk on another human being that they needed to be removed from game action. Shams tweeted this: Utah's John Collins has suffered a head contusion from a play contesting Anthony Edwards' poster dunk tonight. Did he have to say, hey, like, John Collins may not return, DNP posterized? Sources say, head injury, but no concussion for Collins. Someone broke down the numbers on Ant Edwards' dunk. Here's what we got. It is crazy. Ant Edwards' vertical, 43.9 inches. It's the largest I've ever seen. Max ball height, 11.39 feet. The hoop is 10 feet, and he was almost 2 feet higher than that. Take off distance, 10.6 feet away. Ball speed through the rim, here's where the concussion comes in, 23.6 miles per hour. Have you ever been hit with a basketball or a person going 23 miles an hour? Maybe the funniest thing was said after the game, and it's not the part that I can't say out loud, you gotta Google that yourself, when Ant Edwards watched his own footage on TV and had to be bleeped out from YouTube. He said to a kid, kid was like, hey, and I want your jersey. And he goes, no, I got to give it to John Collins. I love Ant Edwards. Never change. Lost in the absolute chaos of the dunk is that the fact that Ant led the Wolves to a massive victory, going off for 25 in the second half on 32-7-7 with three stocks. He also set a Minnesota record for most 30-point games in a season with 27. Oh, boy, Minnesota. Could have had Steph Curry, but you took Johnny Flynn. Pretty damn good, though. You got Ant Edwards now. He immediately rose to sixth in the MVP betting conversation. If he continues to play like this, the Wolves are going to be a problem in the playoff, even without Kitty Cat. We got to get to some injury updates as well. Out in Philadelphia. Oh, watch out. JoJo is thinking about returning second week of April at the latest. The hope is that he will be able to put a couple of games under his belt before he plays in the playoffs. If that's the case, folks, the Sixers are going to be a devastating team for almost anyone. 6, 7, 8 seed, you don't want to see that. No one wants to see Nick Nurse and JoJo and my man Tyrese Maxey right now, and also Kelly Oubre. It's now been 6 weeks since his surgery. He's tracking for a playoff return. Encouraging news, and very encouraging news for Philly. No such good news right now for the Knicks. OG Anunoby's comeback has been cut short. In a win against the Dubs that saw Brunson strap Steph to the tune of 4 for 13 from 3, pretty damn good. OG went to the locker room with elbow discomfort. No re-injury, just inflammation. This is what the quote says. I'm told that OG Anunoby is going to be out more than just tonight. That right elbow is flared up again. They need to calm it down. How long he's out is unclear. But certainly it's a concern for this Knicks team. They don't know the status also of Julius Randle moving forward. The team is pretty much unbeatable with OG on the, Anunoby on the court. 15-2. That's about as good as anybody's splits are they not? Like 15-2? And without Randle and Mitchell Robinson, we know what it is. Like, the Knicks struggle to defend the rim. They struggle to defend anything, the perimeter. Even though, without OG Anunoby, they were holding teams like 80 points per game. The Knicks need to rest him, though, until that elbow is completely healed and solid and no more inflammation. Also, there are some real bullshit reports going on. There are reports that he doesn't want to play through pain. The truth is, OG Anunoby, against the Blazers and against the Warriors and against the Kings, was playing with like one arm, really. And he wants to play, but the Knicks staff is being very cautious about it. Because why? Because they're 15-2 with him in the lineup. Maybe you want to save those 15 games for the playoffs. Out in Cleveland, Donovan Mitchell has missed 10 of the last 15 games. He will miss another week after having a procedure for a broken nose, nasal fracture. The Cavs, this is pretty much Jalen Brunson status right here. The Cavs are 4-6 in games he's missed. They are 21-4 in the last 25 games he's played. So they need to figure out a way to get him back. It is imperative that he gets back healthy for the playoffs, especially considering that they might end up playing the Sixers in the first round with Joel Embiid, fresh off of a nice 8 to 10 week stint of rest, which is when Joel Embiid is his best. And finally, speak of health. DeAndre Ayton is finally healthy and is balling out. For the first time this year, DeAndre Ayton. You know who is partly to blame for his early season woes? Guess. Just guess what it is. Is it like, I don't know, just mental transitions with the plan from the Suns of the Portland? Was it rain? No. Guess again. It was air. Air mattress. He was banged up because of the mental toll of poor sleep, given the fact that for many weeks, who knows how long, he did not specify, DeAndre Ayton was sleeping on an air mattress. Many people in my Instagram comments are saying I've made this up, and that just shows you how ludicrous the story is, considering that it is 100% fact. He said, this quote is actually like bonkers the more you read into it, because he says, I've got all the money in the world, but at the same time, this is an inhumane where money don't matter. Having people around you and the support you need. I was adjusting to everything, just being comfortable waking up. I didn't have a bed. I was on an air mattress trying to figure this out. Having all the money in the world, sleeping on an air mattress. You can like delete all the middle parts, but how do those two things happen together? I have so many questions. Was he like taking some sort of stoic vow of like discomfort and like pain that he wanted to punish himself for things not working out in Phoenix? I don't know the reason that someone with $30 million a year is sleeping on an air mattress. I have yet to hear a good explanation. I've heard that NBA players are not allowed to sleep in hotels. I know that is incorrect, considering that Domantas Sabonis, when he was traded to the Sacramento Kings, slept at the hotel just outside of the Golden 1 Arena for the duration of his first season in Sacramento. I've heard that NBA teams put you up in an Airbnb, where that would be in Oregon. I don't know. I've heard that maybe he was waiting for a 7-foot size mattress to come in the mail, but why an air mattress instead of a regular small mattress? Is it preferable to sleep on a long, extra long air mattress over two mattresses back to back? I don't know these answers, but I slept on an air mattress for 12 hours one time. No, 6 hours one time, and it was 6 hours too many. I'm 115 pounds. It deflated before I could fall asleep. DeAndre Ayton is 7 feet tall and 250 pounds. There is no way there's an air mattress supplier in the world with a modicum of lumbar support. So just an absurd story. I would not have believed this if it didn't come straight from DeAndre Ayton's mouth. I don't know why you don't just call the Blazers and say, can we figure this out? Listen, I can barely get an orthopedic chair at my company. But if I was making 30 M's and max money, I would say, I'm going to need you guys to sort this for me. As a Blazer fan, I can say, thank God he got his sleeping arrangements fixed. Because ever since he got that little crick out of his neck from sleeping on a baby in a baby fetus position on basically the floor, he is bawling the fuck out. Some coming back from injury, which I suspect now was also from the air mattress. He's averaging 27-15-1 with 1.6 stocks on 38 minutes per game. As they say, that's what a sleep number can do for you. And if DeAndre Ayton doesn't get a mattress sponsor after this, someone on team dominating isn't dominating. That's all the time that we have for this episode of Heat Check. Come back Friday for an all-new episode. Check out the feed for past episodes and mini episodes, which drop unexpectedly, like your bracket rankings in March Madness. No, sir, South Dakota State will not be hilltopping their way to a fucking thing. Do not forget to follow the Heat Check as we head down the stretch. That means download. That means subscribe. That means tell your friends. All of them. Even that guy walking his little ass kid in a stroller in front of you who kindly stops for, and you won't even bother to give you a head nod for your courtesy. Hey, just be polite. Download the Heat Check. Your baby, you just put him in front of a moving car. Are you dumb? Also, what's not dumb? Play that kid a little of the Heat Check to get his head on straight, because stupidity is genetic. Do not forget to follow us at this Heat Check and at Trista Crick on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. And once again, YouTube. Shout out to Anthony for the report.